14. The Fiendishly Clever Plan. The dragons protested a bit, but the boys yelled them into line. All except for Toothless, who absolutely refused to join in.
You must be joking, sneered the little dragon. I refuse to go anywhere near a sea dragon as gigantic as Maximus. Those things are dangerous. I shall stay here and watch you all.
Hiccup coaxed and bribed and threatened in vain. You see, said Snotlout, the useless can't even get his own dragon to carry out his pathetic plan, and this is the person you are banking on to get you out of this mess.
Ugh, said Dog's Breath, the Durbrain.
Oh, shut up, Snotlout, chorused the rest of the boys. Hiccup sighed and gave up. Okay then, Toothless, you just stay here and miss all the fun. Now, I want everybody to go down to the gulls' nesting place and collect as many birds' feathers as you can for the feather bombs.
Birds' feathers? Scoffed Snotlout. The wimp thinks you can fight an animal like that with birds' feathers. Cold steel is the only language a creature like that will understand.
Dragons have a tendency to asthma, explained Hiccup. It's all that fire breathing they do. The smoke gets in their lungs.
So you think this monster is going to die from asthma right then and there because of a few feather bombs? Why not just feed him fried herring and see whether he drops dead of a heart attack in 20 years or so? Jeered Snotlout.
No, said Hiccup patiently. The feather bombs are just to make him very confused so he won't kill anybody on the way. Snotlout, Thuggery, I'm going to need to coach Fireworm and Killer in what they have to say, continued Hiccup.
I'm not putting my dragon at risk in this crazy plan, said Snotlout. Oh, yes, you are, hissed Thuggery through gritted teeth, brandishing a massive fist at Snotlout. This guy is such a pain, Hiccup. I don't know how you put up with him. Listen, Snot Features, by some miracle you have got yourself a reasonable dragon. You get that dragon to do what Hiccup wants, or it will give me much pleasure to personally boot you all the way to Porpoise Point and back again.
Okay, then, said Snotlout crossly, but don't blame me when we all get barbecued because of the useless's mad idea. Hiccup supervised the making of the feather bombs. The boys gathered great armfuls of feathers from the gulls' nesting place. They then burgled every item of material they could find. Goggletoad's nappies, Gobber's pyjamas, Mogadon the Meathead's tent, Valhalla Rama's bra, anything they could get their hands on. The grown-ups were too busy consulting amongst themselves to take any notice. Snotlout cheered up a bit because he could show off his superior skill at burglary. He managed to steal Baggy Bum's knickers right off him as he was standing in a huddle discussing a plan of action. Baggy Bum didn't notice, not even when he reached a hairy hand down to absent-mindedly scratch his great bottom. He was too busy talking about bigger and better methods of yelling. The boys then wrapped the feathers up in the material so that they would fly out when the bomb was dropped. Each team of 10 boys was armed with about 100 of these feather bombs, wrapped in a great parcel made out of an old sail. Hiccup led the hooligans towards the long beach, while Thuggery took the meatheads to Unlandable Cove. The thin column of boys were excitedly chattering as they set off behind Hiccup, Wartyhog and Clueless dragging the sail at the rear, the dragons circling and diving a couple of feet above their heads. Vikings are practically fearless, having been bred to be soldiers, so even Hiccup and Fishlegs had a surge of excitement at the thought of the battle to come. But as soon as the monster came into sight again, the boys and the dragons instantly dropped to their tummies and squirmed forward, hearts beating hard. It was impossible that anything could be that big. Hiccup led them as near as he dared to the edge of the cliffs surrounding the long beach. They looked down on the terrible creature snoring in front of them. His nostrils alone were as big as 6 front doors, and the stench reeking out of them made it difficult for the boys to breathe. Wartyhog, who had always had a delicate stomach, threw up disgustingly in the heather. Hiccup, Fishlegs and Clueless unwrapped the feather bombs and gave one to each boy. The boys called the dragons as softly as they could, and each put a feather bomb in their dragon's mouth. They then stood up on the edge of the cliff with their dragons on their outstretched arms. This took about the same amount of bravery it might take for you to leap off a mountain at 1,000 feet. Even with the monster fast asleep, the natural reaction was to keep hidden in the bracken. Hiccup tried not to breathe in. He lifted his arm to give the command to begin.
"Go!"
whispered Hiccup.
"Go!" yelled back the boys, and 10 dragons flew up and circled around the vast sleeping head. Just as the Green Death inhaled, Hiccup shouted, "Now!" and the dragons let go of the feather bombs. The Green Death took in a breath that was half air and half feathers. He woke with a gigantic sneeze and, as he shuddered and coughed, Fireworm, who was treading air near his right ear, gave a speech which went something like this, but a lot more irritating.
"Greetings, O Sea Dragonus Pusillanimus Minimus, from my father, the Terror of the Seas. He is feeling like feasting on the barbarians, and if you get in his way, he will feast on you. Swim away, little sea slug, and you will be safe. But stay on this island, and you will feel the sharpness of his claws and the fierceness of his fire."
The giant monster tried to laugh sarcastically and cough at the same time, but this is virtually impossible, and a feather went down the wrong way, making him cough even more. Then Fireworm bit him on the nose. It must have felt like a flea bite, but the monster was outraged. Through streaming eyes, the Green Death made a swipe at this irritating dragon flea and missed. One giant claw tore down part of the cliff face instead. The 9 other dragons had by this time returned to collect more feather bombs from the boys on the cliffs. "Now!" yelled Hiccup, and with split-second timing, they let their bombs fly. They hit their target of the Green Death's nostrils, and he collapsed with coughing again.
"You cannot win, puny worm!" crowed Fireworm. "Wriggle back to the sea where you belong, and let my master have his supper!"
Now the Green Death was really cross. He bounded lopsidedly after Fireworm, trying to bat away this irritating little speck of a dragon with his claws.
But the Green Death had the same sort of difficulty in catching Fireworm as you might have if you tried to catch a blue bottle with your bare hands. Dragons are better than humans at that sort of game, but the Green Death kept on missing because his eyes were streaming so much.
"Missed again!"
sneered Fireworm, enjoying herself hugely, and she flapped just out of reach of the Green Death's claws. The Green Death made another wild leap towards her as Fireworm flew on around the corner of the cliffs, steering the monster in the direction of Unlandable Cove. Hiccup and the boys ran after them as fast as they could, but they hadn't a hope of keeping up. Running through heather is not unlike running through knee-deep treacle, and they kept disappearing up to their knees in the bog. As Fireworm and the monster got further and further ahead in their race along the shoreline, it took longer and longer for the other dragons to fly back to the boys and return with more feather bombs. The military commanders among you will recognise the kind of problems that ensue when the supply line can no longer reach the forces at the front. Eventually, it was taking so long to reload that there came a moment when there were no more feathers tickling the Green Death's nostrils, and his eyes stopped streaming, and suddenly he could see the maddening Fireworm pinpoint clear. The Green Death made a lightning reflex swipe at the Red Dragon and caught her in one gigantic claw. It was lucky for Fireworm that at that very moment, the Purple Death came crashing round the corner and struck the Green Death heavily in the stomach. His grip loosened on Fireworm for a second and she flew off, panting with relief. The Green Death sat down heavily in the sea and fought for breath. The Purple Death did much the same. XV. The Battle at Death's Head Headland. While Hiccup and his team had been enraging the Green Death, Thuggery and his team had been infuriating the Purple Death. The two monsters ran smack into one another as they met at the corner of Death's Head Headland. One of Fireworm's wings was broken in 2 places from her experience in the Green Death's grip, but she bravely flew back and made her final speech into his ear as he sat gasping for air in the shallows.
"Here he is!" shouted Fireworm. "My master, the Purple Horror, who will tear you limb from limb and spit out your toenails!"
And Fireworm flew away lopsidedly as fast as she could, with one wing trailing behind her. The Green Death was having a bad day. Ordinarily, a Sea Dragonus Giganticus Maximus would not dream of attacking another animal of the same breed. They avoid fighting each other because they know they are so heavily armed that the battle risks ending in death for both of them. However, the Green Death had been attacked and jeered at by minuscule creatures who had inflamed and outraged his vanity. This creature, who seemed to think he was tougher than the Green Death himself, had struck him heavily in the chest. The Green Death wasn't thinking too hard. He leapt at the Purple Death with his talons outstretched, breathing great bursts of fire which lit up the landscape all around like lightning. The ground and the sea shook in great earthquakes as the two gigantic monsters lunged crazily at each other, swearing the most unrepeatable oaths in Dragonese. The Green Death's foot completely destroyed Wrecker's Reef with one blow. The Purple Death's wings caused great landslides to come tumbling down from the headland's cliffs. Now their job was done, the Viking boys were running away as fast as they could, their eyes popping with terror in case one of the dragons survived the fight. Every now and then they looked back to see how the battle was going. With ghastly, eerie cries, the dragons slashed and bit and tore pieces off one another. The sea dragon is the most well-defended creature that has ever lived on this planet. Its skin is over 3 feet thick in places, and so encrusted with shells and barnacles that it almost has the effect of armour. It is also the most well-armed creature that has ever lived on this planet, and its razor-sharp claws and teeth can rip open its own iron crust as if it were made out of paper. Now, both dragons had terrible wounds, and their green lifeblood was pouring out of them. The Green Death gripped the Purple Death around the neck with a deadly throat-choker grip. The Purple Death hugged the Green Death around the chest with a deadly breath-quencher hug. Neither would let go, and the grip of a dragon is a terrible thing. They reminded Hiccup of a picture on one of his father's shields of two dragons forming a perfect circle as they ate one another, each with a tail in their mouth. The dragons thrashed around wildly in the surf, gagging and choking with their eyes popping, their tails causing such tidal waves that the boys were soaked, even though they were scrambling away from the headland as fast as they could. Finally, with some last heaving shudders and grim gurgles, both mighty beasts lay still in the water. There was silence. The boys stopped running. They stood gasping for breath, watching the motionless beasts with dread. The boys' dragons, which were flying some way ahead of the boys, also turned and hung still in the air. The terrible creatures didn't move. The boys waited 2 long minutes as waves lapped gently over the great, motionless bodies. "They're dead," said Thuggery at last. The boys started laughing, rather hysterically now that the terror was over. "Well done, Hiccup!" Thuggery slapped Hiccup on the back. But Hiccup was looking worried. He was squinting his eyes and straining to hear something. "I can't hear anything," said Hiccup anxiously. "You can't hear anything because they're dead," said Thuggery joyfully. "3 cheers for Hiccup!" Halfway through the boys cheering, Fireworm let out a terrible noise. "Dessert!" she shrieked. "Dessert! Dessert! Dessert! Dessert!" The head of the corpse of the Green Death was slowly lifting up and turning in their direction. "Uh-oh," said Hiccup. XVI. The Fiendishly Clever Plan Goes Wrong. Hiccup had been listening for the Green Death's death song, but he wasn't singing it yet. The Green Death was dying, but he wasn't dead yet. What he was very, very angry indeed. Out of his bleeding mouth he hissed weakly, "Where is he?" And then he heaved himself onto his feet and hissed a little more strongly, "Where is he? Where is the little supper? I knew I recognized him. He was my doom, no wonder. The little supper has made a supper of me.
the Green Death himself.
As the dragon spoke, he was inching forwards very slowly and painfully, his eyes fixed on the cliff top where he could see little human beings beginning to run inland again. The dragon threw back his head and screamed, a blood-chilling scream of pure, horrid revenge, dark and torturous.
"I'll supper him before I go, I will," said the dragon, and he leapt forward.
"Run!" shouted Hiccup, but everybody was already running, as fast as they could. In the distance, Hiccup could see 400 warriors from the tribes of Hooligan and Meathead coming towards them from the highest point. They must have wondered at the boy's absence and come out to find them. "But they won't get here in time," thought Hiccup, "and even if they do, what can they do?" Just then, the dragon landed with a crash on the cliff top, and suddenly, the sun was blotted out. 20 boys ran towards the shelter of the ferns. The dragon picked up the nearest with one claw and turned him over. It was Dog's Breath. By the time the dragon had tossed him aside, muttering, "Not you," the other boys had disappeared into the bracken. The dragon was sick, but he laughed weakly.
"You're not safe there, oh no, for though I can't see you to kill you, I can use my fire."
The bracken caught fire with the dragon's first breath, and the boys ran out of it as fast as they could. Hiccup stayed in a little longer because he knew the dragon was waiting for him. Finally, the heat became unbearable, and he took a deep breath, closed his eyes, and ran out into the open. He had run hardly 100 yards before 2 of the dragon's talons closed around his middle and he was lifted up. Way, way up, so the other boys looked like little specks beneath him. The dragon held Hiccup up in front of him.
"We are both supper now, little supper," he said,
and he tossed Hiccup high, high into the air. As Hiccup somersaulted for the second time, he thought to himself, "Now, this really is the worst moment of my life." Then he was falling. He looked down. There was the dragon's mouth, wide open like a great black cavernous tunnel. He was going to fall into it. XVII. In the Mouth of the Dragon. Hiccup fell into the dragon's mouth, and its teeth snapped shut behind him like prison doors. He was falling through complete darkness, surrounded by a smell so awful it was suffocating. He jerked to a sudden halt as the back of his shirt caught on something and held. Hiccup hung there in the darkness, swaying gently. By 1,000-to-1 chance, his shirt had caught on a spear still stuck in the dragon's throat since his Roman banquet. Hiccup's foot brushed against the wall of what he presumed was the dragon's throat. The dragon's digestive juices stung like acid, and he snatched his foot away. Above him, Hiccup could hear the dragon's great tongue sloshing and lunging about his mouth, trying to find Hiccup so he could crunch him to death. He hadn't intended to swallow him whole. A disgusting river of green goo dripped down the puffy red insides of the dragon's throat. Just across from where Hiccup was hanging, green-yellow steam was puffing out of 2 small holes in the slimy wall. Every now and then, a small explosion sent little flickers of flame shooting out of the holes. How interesting, thought Hiccup, who was strangely calm, because he couldn't quite believe that this was really happening. Those must be where the fire comes from. Viking biologists had wondered for years where the fire that dragons breathed came from. Some said the lungs, others the stomach. Hiccup was the first to discover the fire holes, which are too small to see with the naked eye in a normal-sized dragon. Way down below him, Hiccup could hear the distant rumbling of singing from the dragon's previous meal. A sea dragonus giganticus obviously takes a long time to digest, thought Hiccup. It was indeed still going strong. Humans can be bland, but if you have some salt to hand, a little
little bit of brine will make them taste divine.
The spear was gradually bending over with Hiccup's weight. It was only a matter of time before it broke, and he fell to join the breezy optimist in the stomach below. What was worse, the fumes and the heat and the smell were starting to confuse Hiccup, so that he no longer really cared. The terrible noise of the dragon's heart beating had entered into Hiccup's chest and forced his own heart to follow the same rhythm. A dragon has to live after all, he found himself thinking. And then he remembered the dragon's words to him as he stood on the cliff top.
You'll find that you come round to my point of view once you're inside me.
Oh no, thought Hiccup, the dragon's digestion, it's already working. I need to live. I need to live, he repeated to himself over and over again, trying desperately to block out the dragon's thoughts.
There was a horrible creaking noise as the stout Roman spear began to split in two.
CD 4. XVIII. The Extraordinary Bravery of Toothless. And that would have been the end of Hiccup if it had not been for the extraordinary bravery of a certain Toothless Daydream. Toothless, if you remember, had refused to join in the battle at Death's Head Headland. He was intending to fly off somewhere down the coast a bit and lie low till all was safe again. But he stayed at the highest point for a while, terrorising birds and rabbits. He must have been having a lovely time doing this, for he did not hear the approach of Stoic and the entire tribes of Hooligan and Meathead until Stoic grabbed him around the neck.
"Where is my son?"
asked Stoic. Toothless shrugged his shoulders rudely.
"Where is my son?"
bawled Stoic with an awe-inspiring yell so loud that Toothless' ears trembled. Toothless pointed to Death's Head Headland.
"Show me,"
said Stoic grimly. Under Stoic's fierce eye, Toothless reluctantly flapped off towards Death's Head Headland, followed by the two tribes. They arrived just in time to see the terrible monster throw Hiccup high in the air and catch him in his mouth like a whelk. So much for the fiendishly clever plan, thought Toothless. He was about to use the opportunity of Stoic's obvious distraction to sneak off to a place of safety when something stopped him. Nobody knows what that something was. It was a moment which changed the whole worldview of the Hooligan tribe. For centuries we had believed it was impossible for dragons to consider a selfless thought or a generous action. But what Toothless did next is impossible to explain as being in his own best interests at the time. All his fellow domestic dragons were now flying somewhere over the inner ocean. As soon as they heard Fireworm's cry of "Desert!" those who were hiding in caves or between crevices or crouched in the ferns rose up in a great swarm and abandoned their former masters as fast as their wings could carry them. The wild dragons from Wild Dragon Cliff had left hours before. But something kept Toothless from flying after them. Maybe it was Stoic's heart-rendingly powerless cry of "No!" that caused him to pause. Or maybe somewhere in that self-centred green dragon heart of his, he really was fond of Hiccup and grateful for the hours that he had spent looking after him, not shouting at him, telling him jokes and giving him the biggest and juiciest lobsters.
"Dragons are selfish," argued Toothless to himself. "Dragons are heartless and have no mercy. That's what makes us survivors."
Nonetheless, something made him turn right around, and something made him fold his wings back and fly like a dragon blur to the great monster on the clifftops, which really was not in Toothless' best interests, as I said before. Toothless flew right up the monster's left nostril and started flying up and down the inside of his nose, tickling it with his wings. The sea dragon lunged up and down, wrinkling his nose like crazy and bellowing, "Aah! Aah!" The creature stuck his great talon up his nose in a disgusting fashion and tried to winkle out the tickling flea that was irritating him. Toothless didn't quite get out of the way of the talon in time, and it scratched him on the chest. He hardly felt it, though. He was so excited and carried on tickling regardless, dodging the probing dragon claw. Bellowed the sea dragon. Meanwhile, Hiccup was being thrown this way and that inside the dragon's throat as it shook its head from side to side. He was trying desperately to hang on to the spear, which was in danger of becoming dislodged any second. The dragon finally sneezed, and Hiccup, the spear, Toothless, and a great deal of perfectly revolting snot were scattered over the surrounding countryside. Toothless remembered as he was shooting through the air that boys can't fly. He folded his wings and dived after Hiccup, who was rapidly heading towards the ground. Toothless grabbed hold of Hiccup by the arm and tried to take his weight. Dragon's talons are extraordinarily strong, and he was able to break Hiccup's fall, not entirely, but enough so that when Hiccup crashed into the heather, he was travelling reasonably slowly. Stoic came plunging frantically through the grass. He picked up his son and faced the monster, holding his shield over Hiccup's unconscious body. Toothless hid behind Stoic. The Green Death had recovered from his sneezing fit. He shuffled forwards, bleeding horribly from fatal wounds to his chest and throat. He lowered his terrible head till it was on a level with the cliff top, and his evil yellow eyes looked straight at Stoic.
"Time to die for all of us," purred the Green Death. "You can't save his life now, you know. You are quite helpless. My fire will melt that shield like butter."
The Green Death opened his mouth. He slowly sucked in a breath. Stoic tried to grab onto chunks of heather to hold them fast, but Stoic, Hiccup and Toothless were being dragged slowly but surely towards the gigantic black tunnel that was the monster's open jaws. The Green Death paused for a moment before he blew out again, enjoying their terror.
"This is what happens if you don't listen to the dragon law," shrieked Toothless to himself in horror as he peered round the side of Stoic's cloak.
The monster puffed out his cheeks, and Stoic and Toothless waited for flames to consume them. But no fire came out. The Green Death looked very surprised. He puffed out his cheeks and blew a little harder. And again, no fire. He tried once more, and now his head seemed to be turning a strange purplish colour with the effort of blowing. And it seemed to be swelling, bigger and bigger, as if he was being pumped up with air from the inside. The monster had no idea what was happening. He thrashed around wildly, and his eyes bulged larger and larger until, with a bang that could be heard for hundreds of miles in every direction, the Green Death blew up right in front of their eyes. This may seem like some sort of miracle, or an intervention on the part of the gods, but in fact, there was a logical explanation. When Hiccup was hanging in the sea dragon's throat, desperately repeating, I need to live, to himself, he had taken off his helmet and had plugged the horns as hard as he could into the fire holes. It was a perfect fit. So when the dragon tried to use his fire, the blockage caused a build-up of pressure that eventually grew so great that the Green Death simply exploded. Now, there were pieces of dragon flying in all directions. Stoic and Toothless were incredibly lucky not to get hit by anything, standing as close to the explosion as they were. But a single burning dragon tooth, 8 foot long, one of the monster's smaller ones, exploded straight towards Hiccup. The boy had been dragged out from under the shelter of Stoic's shield by the intake of the monster's breath, and was now lying on the ground a couple of feet in front of Stoic and Toothless, completely exposed.
Stoic caught the movement of the tooth out of the corner of his eye and flung himself and his shield forward. Only a Viking could have got there in time. Shooting woodcock with a bow and arrow develops very quick reflexes. So Stoic's shield did save Hiccup's life after all. If it had not been there, the tooth would have impaled Hiccup like a prawn on a stick. As it was, it buried itself deep, deep, deep into the bronze centre of the shield and quivered there, blazing with green-edged dragon flames. Stoic lifted the shield, terrified that the tooth might have pierced through to his son. But Hiccup was unharmed. His eyes were open, and he was listening for something. He was listening for a strange sound that seemed to be coming from the flaming tooth itself. It was the sound of a wheezy, echoing singing, like the wind blowing through coral caves. And it went something like this.
I tell the mighty big blue whale his life is over soon. With one swish of this armored tail I put out the sun and moon. The winds and gales are quivering when I begin to roar. The waves themselves are shivering and trembling back to shore.
Listen, said Hiccup happily, just before he passed out. The supper is singing. XIX. Hiccup the Useful. The 400 Vikings that were now gathered on the cliff tops broke into wild cheering for Hiccup and Toothless. They were a strange, barbaric sight, all covered in disgusting green dragon snort and slime, but beaming and shouting with the wild delight of those that have just been saved from certain death. All around them, the terrible fight that had just taken place devastated the landscape. A choking green-grey smoke was hanging around, making it difficult to see, but great chunks of Death's Head headland appeared to have been torn out by the fight. Avalanches of rock were piled up on the beach. The terrible mountainous corpse of the Purple Death lay in the deeper water. Bits of the Green Death's insides and bones were scattered all over the place, while large sections of the heather and ferns were still in flames. However, by some extraordinary miracle, nearly all the Vikings and their dragons had survived the dreadful battle. I say nearly all, because when Toothless crept forward to lick the face of his master with a flickering forked tongue, Stoic noticed a ghastly wound on the little dragon's chest, which was pouring with bright green blood. The talon of the Green Death had pierced the very heart of the supposedly heartless little dragon. Toothless followed Stoic's gaze and looked down for the first time. He let out a squeal of terror and fainted dead away. 2 days later, Hiccup woke up, aching all over and very, very hungry. It was late at night. He was lying in Stoic's own great bed. The room seemed to be crowded with a great deal of people. Stoic was there, and Valhallarama, and Old Wrinkly, and Fishlegs, and most of the elders of the tribe. There were dragons there too, Newt's Breath and Hookfang snapping and biting around Stoic's legs, and Horror Cow perched on the end of Hiccup's bed. The dragons had flown back as soon as they heard the explosion and realised the masters of Berk were masters once more. Being dragons, they had given no explanation for their disappearance, but they did have the grace to look a little sheepish.
"He's alive!"
shouted out Stoic in triumph, and everybody began to cheer. Valhallarama gave Hiccup a rousing punch on the shoulder, which is the Viking mother's equivalent of a really big hug. "We're all here," said Valhallarama, "willing you to wake up." Hiccup sat straight up in bed, suddenly very awake indeed. "But you're not all here," he said. "Where's Toothless?" Everybody looked shifty, and nobody would look at Hiccup. Stoic cleared his throat awkwardly.
"I'm sorry, son," said Stoic, "but he didn't make it. He died just a few hours ago.
The rest of the tribe are giving him a hero's funeral at this very moment. It's a great honour.
Stoic continued hurriedly.
He'll be the first dragon ever to be given a proper Viking burial.
How did you know he was dead? Hiccup demanded. Stoic looked surprised.
Well, you know, the usual. No pulse, no breath. Stone cold to the touch. He was quite clearly dead, I'm afraid.
Oh, honestly, Father, said Hiccup in a frenzy of exasperation. Don't you know anything about dragons? That could have been a sleep coma. It's a good sign. Probably means he's healing himself.
Oh, Thor's whiskers, said Fishlegs. They started that funeral half an hour ago.
We've got to stop them, yelled Hiccup. Dragons are only fairly fireproof. They'll burn him alive. Hiccup leapt out of bed with amazing energy under the circumstances. He ran out of the room and out of the house, followed closely by Fishlegs and Horror Cow. Down at Hooligan Harbour, the awesome ceremony of the Viking military funeral was nearly coming to an end. It was an incredible sight, if Hiccup had been in the mood for it. The sky was crammed with stars. The sea was glass flat. The entire tribes of Hooligan and Meathead were gathered motionless on the rocks, and every single person was carrying a lighted torch in one hand. Even Snotlout was there, trying to look solemn, with his helmet off his head, out of respect, and his hair neatly brushed. "Good riddance to the newt with wings," he was whispering slyly to Dogsbreath the Durbrain, and Dogsbreath sniggered.
"Serves him right for breaking the law,"
sneered Fireworm to Sea Slug, who was picking his nose on Dogsbreath's shoulder. A replica of a Viking ship had been put out to sea and was drifting swiftly away from the island of Berk along the path of the moon's reflection, past the weird shapes of Stoic and Mogadon's burnt-out fleet. Hiccup could just see the small body of Toothless laid out in the boat. Beside him lay Stoic's shield, the dragon's tooth still stuck in it like a gigantic alien sword. Gobber the Belch sounded a mournful signal on his horn. He was now completely recovered after his unexpected flight.
Porp!
26 of Stoic's finest archers, standing to attention at the right of the harbour, lifted their bows into the air. Every bow was loaded with an arrow in flame.
No!
Yelled Hiccup with the best yell he had ever yelled. But it was too late. The flaming arrows soared gracefully through the air. They landed on the ship and set it alight. Some of the crowd on the shore had turned to look upwards, wondering who dared to disturb this most solemn ritual.
Hiccup!
Shouted Thuggery the Meathead, joyfully recognising the figure on the horizon. There was a murmur of wonder from the crowd as they whispered, Hiccup? To each other. Then shouting and cheering and calling out his name louder and louder. Snotlout's jaw dropped open. He looked thoroughly disappointed to see Hiccup very much alive and well. Snotlout could just about take Hiccup as a dead hero, but a living Hiccup the hero was going to be very much in the way. Hiccup was watching the burning ship, tears pouring down his face. The boat tipped, and Stoic's shield and the tooth fell into the water. Just as the last piece of the boat was about to slip beneath the waves, to be consumed by fire and water, the flames reared up about 20 feet into the sky, and, shooting out of those flames, wings spread wide like a phoenix, trailing fire from his tail like a comet, came Toothless. He soared high, high, high into the stars, leaving a path of flame as he flew. He dived down, down, down towards the sea and swooped up at the last minute to cries of wonder from the spectators. Hiccup was anxious that he might be in pain until Toothless zoomed low enough over his head for Hiccup to hear the little dragon's rooster cry of triumph. Whatever Toothless' faults may have been, you have to admire his sense of occasion. Common or garden dragons are not normally known for their spectacular flying skills, but even a common or garden dragon on fire is a spectacle in itself. Toothless burned through the night sky like a live firework, performing screaming fiery somersaults and flaming loop-the-loops. The crowd, who only a moment before were expecting to mourn the deaths of both Toothless and possibly Hiccup,
were now beside themselves, hysterically cheering as Toothless showered them with sparks. At last, the fire got too hot for him, and Toothless plunged into the sea to extinguish himself, only to burst out again and fly straight to Hiccup's shoulder. There, he acknowledged the wild applause with solemn bows to right and left, slightly spoiling his dignity with the odd cock-a-doodle-doo of smug self-congratulation. Stoic signalled to the crowd for silence, but only so he could boom out the following speech at full blast.
"Hooligans and meatheads, terrors of the seas, sons of Thor, and most feared masters of the dragon, I feel humbled to present you with the most recent member of the hooligan tribe. I give you my son, Hiccup the Useful."
And the words, "Hiccup the Useful," came echoing down from the hills behind, and were shouted back again by the cheering crowd, and were picked up and carried on the night breeze, until the whole world seemed to be telling Hiccup that maybe he was going to be useful after all. And that, my friends, that is the hard way to become a hero. Epilogue by the author Hiccup Horrendous Haddock III, the last of the great Viking heroes. The story doesn't end there, of course. The 19 boys who entered initiation with me those many years ago were all allowed into the hooligan and meathead tribes as a result of their heroic actions in defeating 2 Sea Dragonus Giganticus Maximus in one day. The battle at Death's Head Headland has passed into Viking legend and will be sung about by the bards while there are still bards to sing. Of course, there are very few bards left nowadays. What is more, nobody has seen a Sea Dragonus Giganticus Maximus since, and people are already starting to disbelieve that such a creature could have lived. Learned articles have been written suggesting that something that large simply could not have sustained its own weight. The dragons that would be my evidence have crawled back into the sea where men cannot follow, and what with heroism being so unfashionable nowadays, nobody is going to believe the mere word of a hero like myself. But the thing about dragons, and I am a person who knows about dragons, is that it could very well be that they are merely sleeping down there in the black, black depths. There could be numberless numbers of them, all frozen in a sleep coma, with the unknowing fishes swimming in and out of their tentacles and hiding in their talons and laying eggs in their ears. There may yet come a time when heroes are needed once more. There may yet come a time when the dragons will come back. When that time comes, men will need to know something about how to train them and how to fight them. And I hope that this book will be more helpful to the heroes of the future than a certain book of the same name was to me all those many years ago. It is easy to forget that there were such things as these monsters. I forget myself sometimes, but then I look up, as I'm looking up now, and I see in my mind's eye a shield, strangely changed by a rich encrusting of jewel-like barnacles and cold water coral, with an 8-foot tooth sticking right out of the middle of it. I reach out, and the edge of that tooth is still so bitingly sharp after all these years that just a gentle brush with the fingers might send a rain of blood down on these pages. And I bend my head, not too close, and I'm sure I can just hear very, very faintly,
"Once I set the sea alight with a single fiery breath. Once I was so mighty that I thought my name was Death. Sing out loud until your eaten song of melancholy bliss. For the mighty and the middling
all shall come to this.
The supper is still singing.
This is a bigger full stop.
Which is Dragonese for the end.